السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Before we begin, inshallah, we want to make a request to all of you to please mute your mic, your microphone, and your speaker, and also to turn off the video. Jazakumullah khair. الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. الحمد لله. First and foremost, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala, out of His rahmah, His mercy, has enabled all of us to enter into this Mubarak month of Ramadan. This is that month of Ramadan the Sahaba Ikram, they used to judge the honor and respect of the other person based upon how many Ramadan they had spent. Alhamdulillah, this month of mercy has started for us. The days of this month are also mercy. The evenings are also mercy. And the nights are also going to be mercy. Tonight is the first night of Ramadan here. And before we begin our series on the Asma'ul Husna, the 99 beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing Allah through His beautiful names, we thought that today, inshallah, we want to set that series into context. We want to speak a bit about Ramadan, and especially what happens on the first night of Ramadan. And then from tomorrow onwards, inshallah, we're going to start with the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the first name, which is Allah Himself. So again, if I can ask all of you to turn off your videos and to mute your microphone and your speaker. The Prophet in Hadith Mubarak has mentioned that on the first night of Ramadan, there are few changes, few transformations that happen in the universe. The first change that happens in our world is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam on this night, on the first night of Ramadan, with this command and with this hukum to imprison all the stray shayateen. All the shayateen, all the shaitan, they are captured, they're imprisoned, so that they're not able to spoil our ibadat. They're not able to put those wasafis and insinuations and whisperings in our mind. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does this because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to make it easy for all of us to do ibadah. That is the first transformation that happens, that all the stray shayateen, they are chained and imprisoned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the first night. The three things that happen. This is first. The second thing which happens is on the first night of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands one of the angels whose name is Rizwan. Rizwan is that angel who is responsible for Jannah and the doors of Jannah, for entry into Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands this angel Rizwan that open the doors of Jannah. It comes in a hadith of Barakah till all 8 doors of Jannah are opened in this month of Ramadan, and all 7 doors of Jahannam are closed in this month of Ramadan. And this happens on the first night of Ramadan. In fact, there is a hadith which mentions that throughout the year, Jannat is beautified and it's adorned for the starting of this month of Ramadan. And then when the first of Ramadan happens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the doors of Jannah. All doors are opened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants that, O my servant, you should fast in this month, do taraweeh, pray taraweeh in this month, do ibadah, and so that you can become a recipient of Jannat. Jannat becomes on sale on this month. It becomes very easy for a person to enter into Jannah. That's the second transformation that happens on the first night of Ramadan. And the third change that happens is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He increases the rate of good deeds. So whatever neki or a goodness a person does, starting from the first of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases the rate in such a way that if we do one fard in Ramadan, Allah will multiply that and give us the ajr of 70 farz. And if a person does one nafil, then Allah will reward us for one fard. So these three changes, they happen on the first night of Ramadan. In another hadith, which is narrated by Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she mentions that the Prophet also used to change three things about himself when the first night of Ramadan would happen. And throughout this month of Ramadan, she says, we used to notice there was a transformation in the schedule of the Prophet in three particular things. Number one, she mentioned that when Ramadan used to begin, we used to see that the Prophet used to strive more in ibadat. He used to increase in his ibadah, he used to increase in that mujahidah for ibadah. He used to make more and more effort, a lot of effort in a Ramadan, in praying, in nawafil, in all of ibadah. Yani in normal days also, the Prophet would do a lot of ibadah. And we know this, that in normal routine and schedule, the ibadah was so much that the blessed feet of the Prophet would become swollen because of so much ibadah standing up at night. But when the month of Ramadan used to begin, the Prophet used to further increase in his ibadah. That's the first change we see in the life of the Prophet. The second thing she mentions is that Nabila Salatu Islam used to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and used to spend in the path with a very open heart, like a racehorse. It comes in a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ used to increase in this thing. He used to increase in his sadaqah. He used to spend more and more in voluntary charity in this month than he ever spent otherwise. And we should remember that the Prophet ﷺ, he had a very simple lifestyle. He would eat very frugally, and he would, whatever surplus and abundance he had, he would spend that in charity. But in the month of Ramadan, this charity, this spending on the path of Allah Ta'ala used to increase so much that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she says that it was like a racehorse. The way a racehorse runs, that's how openly and that's how freely the Prophet ﷺ used to spend on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when this month used to begin. And the third thing she mentions is that the Prophet ﷺ used to do abundantly in this month was that he used to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He used to make du'as even more lajajat, with even more humility, with more tears, and used to be beseeching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, weeping and crying. That used to increase in this month for the Prophet ﷺ. Again, throughout the year, the Prophet ﷺ used to cry, used to make dua to Allah ta'ala. But in this month, the intensity of those tears, the intensity of that beseeching, that humility and that crying and weeping, all of that used to increase much, much more. And the Prophet ﷺ specifically would used to make dua that, oh Allah, grant me admission into Jannah and save us from hellfire. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-jannah wa a'udhu bika min an-nar. And there are many different du'as that are mentioned. But this is one du'a that the Prophet ﷺ used to make in this month. He used to increase in this month. So three changes that happen on the first night of Ramadan, and three things that the Prophet ﷺ used to increase in this month of Ramadan. And we then also should try to bring these changes in our life. We should also try to bring this transformation in our life. For those of us who have wealth, surplus wealth, we should try to follow in the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and spend more sadaqah or charity in this month as much as we can. The second is that we should also try to increase in our du'as in this month. This is the month of du'a, and a very beautiful du'a that the Prophet ﷺ is teaching us, that in fact we know that the gates of Jahannam are closed in this month and the gates of Jannat are opened. And we can use this fact to make du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, oh Allah, just as you have closed the gates of Jahannam in this month of Ramadan, Allah, I ask you to close the gates of Jahannam for me in my whole life, and to close all the pathways that lead to those gates for me in my life. And just like, ya Allah, you have opened up the abwab or the doors of or the gates of Jannah in this month of Ramadan, Allah, I ask you to keep them open for me and guide me and open to me those pathways that can lead to those doors of Jannah. So we should, like the Prophet ﷺ, increase in our du'as in this month of Ramadan. And we have mentioned before also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us two special times in this month of Ramadan when our du'as will be accepted. One is the time at suhoor, at the time of tahajjud, the last few moments, 10-20 minutes before the time for fajr begins. That's the time for Qubuliyah. Many of our akabareen, our Salaf Saleheen, they say that when a person does ibadah in that portion of the night, then the decisions that they can get in their favor in that last one third of the night, they cannot get those decisions through the whole of ibadah that they do during the day. Because those du'as that you make in the last part of the night, those du'as are very powerful in the sight of Allah. They can travel distances very, very quickly. They can protect us from many, many fitnas. That's why the afzal tareen namaz or salah that any person can pray after their fara'is is the salah at that time, which is known as the salah of the tahajjud, and to make du'a at that time. So we should eat sehri. Ideally, we should wake up for sehri a bit before. Eat sehri, because again, eating sehri is barakah. And then in the last 15-20 minutes, we should spend time in salah, in namaz, in ibadah, and in du'a. Because this is qubuliyat-e du'a. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends on the lowest of the heavens and he asks, is there anyone who wants to ask anything from me so that I can give it to that person? Is there any person who is seeking forgiveness so that I can forgive that person? And this announcement continues until the azan of Fajr. And normally we're not able to get this opportunity in our daily routine, but in Ramadan, we can capitalize on this opportunity that we have. Our hearts are softened because of the ibadah of fasting. It's easier to wake up at this time. And there is a hadith also that any person who gets the tawfiq to be able to wake up at the time of tahajjud, do ibadah and make dua, that person will never remain deprived in his life. Any Allah will take care of that person's needs and necessities. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi used to say that in that last third of the night, the tahajjud time, at that time, whenever a person makes dua, that dua is like an arrow which never misses its target. And what he meant by that is that it's a dua which is guaranteed you will get it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will never miss its target. So it's not difficult. Before the time of Fajr's azan, 10-15 minutes, just come on the musalla, pray 2 rakah, 4 rakah, and then spend that time in dua. And one faida, one benefit that we get if we do this regularly for the next 30 days is that we will also get Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr, which is the night which is better than 1,000 months. More than 83 years. That's the power of this night. But if a person makes dua, it's like making a dua for 83 years, crying for 83 years, making toba for 83 years. And how can we get this Laylatul Qadr? So we can get this Laylatul Qadr by making dua and doing ibadah every night of Ramadan, especially before Fajr. Because we don't know when this barakat and rahmatin will descend on this night. But we do know that whenever these rahmatin and blessings will descend on this night of Laylatul Qadr, hatta matla il fajr, they will remain until the tulu il fajr, until the time of Fajr, the azan of Fajr. So if every night in Ramadan, we can present ourselves before Allah Ta'ala and make dua, then after Ramadan, we can be guaranteed, we can say for sure that I was able to do ibadah on Laylatul Qadr. Because Allah is promising that these rahmati, these barakat, these salamti, hatta matla il fajr will remain till the tulu of Fajr. So you will guaranteed get Laylatul Qadr. So we increase in our dua at the time of the tahajjud, and also increase in our du'as at the time of breaking our fast, which is iftar. Because in another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that whoever makes dua at that time, their du'as will be accepted. So again, we can make intizam and whatever arrangements of iftari, we can do it a bit beforehand. And in the last 10 minutes and 5 minutes, we should try to sit on the dasturkhan and make dua to Allah. And especially when the last 1 minute or a few seconds before the azan of Maghrib, we should try to squeeze in those special du'as that we have in our heart. Those 20, 30 seconds, 40 seconds, make that special heartfelt du'a with sincerity in your heart to Allah. And you will see, so many of our friends, they have said that we regularly made du'as at these two special times, Sehri and Iftari. And then they would write about this, that we saw the qubuliyya of that dua with our own eyes. And it's not one or two people that I'm saying. This is a lot of people. So many people they have had that same experience. They say that we capitalized on these two times during Ramadan, and we saw those du'as being fulfilled. We saw them with our very own eyes. And now their yaqeen has become so much that they wait throughout the year that the month of Ramadan will come. And in the month of Ramadan, the time for sehri will come, and then the time for iftari will come. And this is that golden time. We will make our du'a, we will open our heart to Allah Ta'ala, and our du'as will be fulfilled by Allah. That has become now their part of yaqeen. They're waiting whole year round just for the month of Ramadan to come. And in this month of Ramadan, just for those two golden opportunities to make dua. Because whatever they make dua at that time, they have seen it with their own eyes, how Allah Ta'ala has accepted their duas. And I'm not speaking about one or two people. Number of people. And why we have... Because this is the guarantee that the Prophet ﷺ has given us. So we can also capitalize on these two times. It's like Allah Ta'ala has given us 60 blank checks in the month of Ramadan. You can write whatever you want to write. It has been issued and signed by Allah Ta'ala. So we should, all of us should try to increase in our du'as in this month. And the third thing that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that he used to increase was his ibadat. A lot more ibadat. And the reason for this, like we mentioned, is that Allah increases the reward for one fard for every nafil. And one fard becomes 70 fara'id. So when Allah Ta'ala is actually helping us, when Allah Ta'ala is training us, so Allah is increasing the reward. And by the way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not simply increasing the reward, the ajr. Allah Ta'ala is also increasing the asr of that ibadah, the effect of that ibadah. For example, inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar, that salah will prohibit a person from immorality and wrongdoing, will help a person stay away from vulgarity and obscenity. That is the haqiqat that Allah lays down in Quran. Now in a Ramadan, when you pray one fard, it's as if you have prayed 70 fard. So the ability of that one fard is 70 times more powerful in keeping you away from the fahsha and the munkar. That's how we should think. In the month of Ramadan, the nafil is increased to the magnitude of a fard. So that means it is 20 taraweeh rakat that one prays. Although there is shari status, there is sunnat muqaddah, the sawab, the reward, and the effect that they will have on our heart is as if we pray 20 faraiz, 20 rakat of fard outside the month of Ramadan. So Allah Ta'ala is boosting the power, is magnifying the power, multiplying the power of our ibadat, and multiplying and boosting the effect that that ibadat has on us in this month. So that is why we should try to do as much ibadah as possible and try to free ourselves as much as possible from other considerations in this month. Whatever is required, we can do, study, work. But other than those requirements, we should try to take off from our other activities, which are non-essential, and spend that time in ibadah because of this incredible rate that Allah Ta'ala is giving us, multiplying it by 70 times. And we should view, and we mentioned this before also, we should view Ramadan like your season. Like different people have their season. You have the farmer season and the shopkeeper season. You should think that this is my season, a season for ibadah, a season for good deeds, a season for increasing my actions that are pleasing to Allah. And we have to boost ourselves in ibadah. Think of it like the way you study for the finals week. When you enter into that zone, that's how we should treat Ramadan. That you're in that zone and you're so busy, like you're so busy studying for the final exam. That's how we should treat Ramadan. We're so busy trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maximally trying to get the reward of this month. Just everyone around you, they should know that you have just entered into the month of Ramadan. You have entered into a particular zone. They shouldn't even come near you because this is Ramadan. This guy, this has some craze that's come over him. It's Ramadan. You will either see him praying salah or he's making remembrance of Allah. You find him reading Quran in his room, or he's making istighfar, or he's making dua, or he's sitting in some religious gathering. He's gone in this month. That's how we should behave in this month, because Allah Ta'ala has put so much barakah, ajr, and effect in this month, so much power in this month. We are not initiating, Allah Ta'ala is initiating this. His rahmat is coming on us, His karam is coming on us, His fazl, His generosity, His barakat, and blessings are descending upon us as we speak. Allah Ta'ala has already initiated the process of Ramadan. Allah has already started and jump-started the whole cycle of barakah and rahmat. All these things have been initiated. It started. It has started already. All we have to do is just absorb it. We just have to go along with the game plan of Allah Ta'ala. Allah has initiated that game for us. We just simply have to start absorbing these things from Allah. Right? And that is what Allah Ta'ala is saying, that what more can Allah Ta'ala do for us, right? Ya ayyuhal insan ma gharraka bi rabbikal kareem. What more can Allah have done to entice you? Why is it that we haven't still fallen in love with Allah Ta'ala? What has kept us away from just giving ourselves over to Allah completely in this month? Really, there's nothing more. Allah Ta'ala has, what do you say? Allah Ta'ala has not left any leaf unturned. Allah has gone to the extreme in His attributes, in the way He treats us. That whole process has started. This maximal fazl and rahmah, this maximal mercy and blessings, the maximal barakah. We are the blessed Ummah, right? So the third thing we should try to increase in our ibadat, follow in the footsteps of the Prophet ﷺ. And this ibadah can be anything and everything. You can do anything and everything. You should do more of that in this month. You should be more regular in your salah. You should pray your sunnahs more regularly. You should pray your nawafil more regularly. You should read more Quran, more istighfar. You should make more durood and salawat. You should make more khidmat of deen. You should study more ilm of deen. You should make more remembrance of Allah. You should make more dua. Anything and everything you can think of, you should do it. And if you're a beginner on this path, then at least try to do it. Maybe you have never done this before in your life. Maybe you have never heard of such things like tahajjud, like salat-e tasbih, various things. Or maybe reciting Surah Kahf on Friday. Maybe you can say, maybe I've heard a few things that you should recite Surah Yasin after Fajr Salah. And let me try this in this month. Anything and everything that you've ever heard about in your life, this is the month to do it, to try it at least. This is the month to be a person of action. And you will see, inshallah, you will see the effect of that action. Your heart will increase in that love for Allah Ta'ala. Your heart will feel more attached to Allah. Your heart will feel more close to Allah. Our basic problem is that we are disconnected from Allah. We are distant from Allah. We don't have that fire, that emotion of love. So this is the fasting that you will do is such an ibadah which will automatically connect you to Allah. Within one fast, you're automatically going to feel closer to Allah Ta'ala. You will feel nearer to Allah Ta'ala than you have ever been in the whole month of Shaban or anything before that. Why? Because you're engaging in fasting. It's an ibadah. You're doing it for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. And the last thing that I want to mention is that this is the month of fasting, but there are three levels of fasting. So we are doing a sequence of three things. Three things that happen on the first night of Ramadan. Then three things that the Prophet ﷺ used to increase in this month of Ramadan. And now finally, last thing, three levels of fasting. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah has mentioned that the month of Ramadan is the month of fasting, and their fasting is of three levels. One is a basic level of fasting, which is the fasting of ordinary people. And for them, fasting means to abstain from food and drink and lawful relations for those who are married. That's the lowest level of fast. Then there is a higher level of fast, which is the fast of those who are salihin. For them, fasting means that they abstain from food and drink, the first level, and lawful relations. In addition to that, they also fast from sins in this month. And this is very important, to fast from sins. We can understand this, that there is 1 ton iron, and you can have 1 ton silver, and you can have 1 ton gold. Now, each one of them, it's the same weight, 1 ton, 1 ton, 1 ton. But the price of each one of them will be different. 1 ton metal has a fixed price, and then 1 ton gold will have a completely different price altogether. In the same way, there will be some people who will fast in this month of Ramadan. All of us will be fasting. But maybe for some of us, our fast will get the price of iron. And for some others, the fast, their fast will get the price of gold. How can we elevate the quality, increase the quality of our fast? This is the second level, that we abstain from sins. And this is very important in Ramadan especially, because you see in Ramadan, you will be doing a lot of ibadat. You will be increasing your good deeds, fasting, du'as. But a lot of times it happens is that a person, while increasing their good side, they're not able to plug their bad side. They're not able to leave those sins. And because of that, they don't plug that drain. So whatever noor they get because of their ibadah, it's taken away. It's like a bathtub where you have these faucets, the bathtub, you know, the taps are open, the shower is open, and all the water is steaming in, it's pouring into that bathtub. But if the drain is not plugged, then that water will never be able to remain at a particular level in that bathtub. It will go out. Exactly in the same way, in the month of Ramadan, we have all these taps opened up. Dua and salah and fasting and Quran. But if we don't leave sins, it's like we haven't plugged the drain. And whatever noor we are getting because of these ibadat, it will discharge, it will go away. So what is more important than increasing in our good deeds is actually to leave sins, to plug that drain. Normally when we think about ibadah, we are thinking about salah, fasting, Quran. But there is a misconception here. There was once a sahabi who came to the Prophet ﷺ and asked that, Ya Rasulallah, how can I become the best worshipper? And among all those people who were worshipping Allah Ta'ala, how can I become the best? And the Prophet ﷺ said that leave sin and you will become the best worshipper in the sight of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So in fact, one of the best things which enables a person to become ibadat guzar is to leave sins. And we have to work on this. There will be two kinds of people who will be entering Ramadan. There will be one person who does good deeds, he fasts, but then he sins. And then after that, he fasts and does good deeds. So when he sins, and then after that, he does good deeds, his good deeds will wipe away his sins. And this sequence will continue. He will do his good deeds, they will wipe away his bad deeds. But then again, he will continue to do bad deeds, and his good deeds will wipe away his bad deeds. And such a person, he won't be able to feel any difference when the month of Ramadan will end. Because he is doing good deeds, but at the same time, he's not able to plug that drain. So the effect of the good deeds will be enough to the degree that they will wipe away the bad deeds, but nothing more than that. That person will not be able to drive close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He won't be able to feel that qurb and closeness and nearness to Allah. And on the other hand, there'll be another individual who also begins Ramadan. He or she, they're continually developing. They've plugged that drain of bad deeds, of sins. And maybe they might not be able to do a lot of ibadah. So, but they're doing whatever needs to be done.
They have some ibadah they have added in their schedule, but they have plugged that drain. This person, second person, he will be continually developing every single day of Ramadan. Every single day, he will be drawing closer and closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ramadan, there is no greater source of barakah. There is no greater source of mercy than this month of Ramadan. So the number one thing we should do in this month of Ramadan is to avoid sin. Because what sins they do is they end up taking us exactly where you were before. They anchor you down. You do some sin, you fast, then you do some sin, then you fast. It's like a cycle. You're moving one step forward, then one step back. You don't go anywhere. And then sometimes people also start questioning the deen, that why am I not changing? Why am I not benefiting? And the answer is that you're doing these amazing things. You're doing these tremendous, great things in Ramadan, but you're not plugging the drain. So very important that we sit down, we analyze our life. What are the things that we are doing that are disobedience to Allah? Sins, you know, we have redefined completely the definition of sin. It's not what we think is bad or what the society thinks is bad, but what Allah Ta'ala thinks is bad. That is where the negative effect is coming in. What Allah Ta'ala has ruled against. So looking at how we use our eyes, trying to fast in our eyes. A person who protects his eyes, the Prophet ﷺ said, he will be able to feel the sweetness of his iman. So fasting of the eyes. Likewise, to protect and safeguard our tongue, fasting of the tongue. Not using our tongue to backbite others, hurt others, shouting, screaming, picking a fight, fighting with your spouse, picking an argument. Nay. We should try to moisten our tongue with the du'as of Allah, zikr of Allah, with the Quran. Leave unnecessary talk. There were two women who came to the Prophet ﷺ, and they were fasting, and they were feeling that hunger, their fast, and became unbearable for them, on the verge of death. So they came to the Prophet ﷺ asking that, can we have the permission to break our fast? And the Prophet ﷺ asked them that, why, what led you to this condition? And they weren't sure. So then the Prophet ﷺ, he asked them to vomit. There was a bartan, some dish was presented, and they were told to vomit inside that bartan, that utensil. And when they vomited, pieces of flesh, pieces of meat came out, fresh blood came out. And the Prophet said that you were backbiting. When you were together, you were backbiting against other people. And that's why this fast became unbearable for you. And this meat of flesh is coming out from your mouth. So when a person, they misuse their tongue, when they backbite or slander, the fast becomes difficult. The Prophet is telling that in the hadith. And in fact, there's another beautiful hadith where the Prophet said that when you're fasting, you should not engage in fighting. You shouldn't sort of pick up a dispute or a fight or an argument with someone else. And on the other hand, if someone starts cursing you or shouting at you, if someone wants to fight with you, or they say something to you to incite you, to increase you in your temper, then the Prophet ﷺ is saying that you should simply reply, "Ana sa'imun, I'm fasting. I won't engage. I won't respond back. Ana sa'imun." Subhanallah. Right? So safeguarding how we use our tongue, safeguarding how we use our ears, safeguarding our mind also, fasting of your thoughts, fasting of your mind, not thinking ill of other people, not having enmity and malice towards other people, not having degrading thoughts about others, not thinking about ourselves in a very arrogant, in a very superior way, but rather having hajizi and humility, constantly trying to humble ourselves before Allah. Constantly trying to lower ourselves, abase ourselves before Allah. In fact, trying to dispel thoughts that are other than Allah Ta'ala, not thinking about makhluk. For so much, for so long, for 11 months, we have been thinking about makhluk and creation. We are stuck in this cycle. Now trying to dispel thoughts and thinking about Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala as much as possible. Doing zikr of the mind, remembering Allah in our thoughts, in our heart, in our mind, cutting away those distracting thoughts. So this fasting, this staying away from food and drink, this is just the first level. This is actually a first level which is supposed to take us to this next level, which is fasting as a shield, as a means to leave sin. And if we are not able to leave sin, then we haven't really fulfilled the purpose of that fast. That fast then becomes, it doesn't have that power. In one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that there are some people who will not get anything from their fast except for hunger and thirst. And they will not get anything from their qiyam, from their taraweeh, except for becoming tired. And who are these people? These are those people who are backbiting throughout the day. They're lying. They're hurting other people. They're fighting with other people. So such people, even though outwardly they're fasting, but they will not be able to get the barakah, the power, the potential, the strength of that fast. The fast hasn't achieved its goal. In fact, in other hadiths, the Prophet ﷺ said that except for four people, all will be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month of Ramadan. And the Sahaba asked that who are those four people who will not be forgiven? And the Prophet ﷺ said that number one who is an alcohol addict. And number two, one who disobeys their parents. And number three, who sever ties with his relatives. And the fourth thing which is relevant here, a person who harbors ill will or malice for other people. That person hasn't controlled his thoughts. So this is a month that we have to fast. In addition to leaving food and drink, which is the first level, we should go beyond that. And this month, this year, try to go to the next level and fast in terms of our eyes, fasting of the tongue, fasting of our thoughts, fasting of our ears. Make our fast mukammal. Make our fast kamil. This Ramadan, our approach should be defensive. Be defensive in this month of Ramadan. What do I mean? It's like you have a bag of gold. And if anyone gives you a bag of gold, you'll be so careful about that bag. When you come to the masjid, you park your car, you will be very careful. You will watch over the back and see, is there anyone following me? Why? Because you know that this bag that you have is very precious. Maybe other people around you, they don't know, right? But you know what's inside. That's why you're going to be very defensive, very careful, watching your back all the time. In this month of Ramadan, when you pray your salah, you're filling your heart with gold. When you stand in taraweeh, you're filling your heart with gold. When you recite Quran, you're filling your heart with gold. When you're fasting throughout the day, you're filling your heart with gold. You are filling your heart with this incredible gold. Now shaitan nafs, they will try to rip you off this treasure. Allah Ta'ala is bestowing this treasure upon you. What we have to do is to be defensive. Do not squander this gold that you have in your heart by letting this go out from your heart. Be defensive. Plug the drains from your heart. Plug those sins from your life. And if we are defensive, then this treasure will keep on increasing every single day and every single moment and every single night of Ramadan. So this is something which we wanted to mention that we thought is very important, that this is the month we have to improve our fast. And the highest level of fasting, which was the fasting of the Anbiya, the prophets, and the truthful ones, the Siddiqeen, was that they would even try to remove ghafla from their life. They would not just fast from food and drink, not even simply fast from sins, from guna, but they would also try to fast from ghafla. Yani they would try to spend these 30 days in such a way where every single thought would be about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Would be about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a thought which is fillah billah in lillah. That they would have no ghayrullah other than Allah in their heart. They would stay away from ghafla also, from heedlessness, from forgetfulness, trying to be in a state of remembrance every single moment of their life. So inshallah, these are the three levels of fasting. At the very least, we should try to take it beyond the first level and try to plug the stay away from sins as much as possible, so that inshallah we can make our fast kamil and mukammal. We can make our fast complete and perfect. And when a person keeps such a fast where they are fasting from food and drink, but they're also staying away from sins, then such a fast has achieved its purpose, and such a fast then will intercede on behalf of that person on the Day of Judgment. The Prophet ﷺ said, "As-siyam wal-Qur'an yashfi'ani yawm al-qiyamah," that the fasting and Qur'an will intercede on yawm al-qiyamah on behalf of that person. And another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said about this fast, that when a person fasts in such a way, then as-sawmu li, it's a hadith that could see, as-sawmu li wa ana ajzi bihi. Allah says that this fast is for me, and I'm going to give the reward for this fast. And we know that every person, they give a reward according to their own shan. So when Allah announces that I'm going to give the reward for this fast, then we can only expect that Allah will reward us according to His own shan. Subhanallah. And then there is another way we can recite this. As-sawmu li wa ana ujza bihi, that fasting is for me, and Allah says I become the reward of that person, and in return for this fast I will give myself to that person. Subhanallah. Through fast a person can get the qurb of Allah, the muhabbat of Allah, the closeness of Allah, the ma'iyat of Allah, the didar of Allah. And whoever gets Allah, you get everything. Man kana lillah, kana Allahu lahu. Whoever becomes for Allah, Allah becomes for that person. When Allah becomes for you, then you get everything. So in summary then, the three transformations that have happened on this first night of Ramadan, and the Prophet ﷺ would respond by increasing three things in Ramadan. So we should also try to increase in our ibadah. This is the springtime for believers. This is our springtime. The Jannat has been decorated. It has been perfumed. The doors are opened. It has been ornamented for us. And for believers, this is their springtime. The gardens are lush. The flowers are in full bloom. Everywhere there is the smell of freshness, the smell of fragrance. The mornings are fragrant, the evenings are fragrant, the nights are fragrant. If someone wants to start his life afresh, anew, a golden opportunity we have to delete our past, a golden chance to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make dua to Allah ta'ala that Allah ta'ala grant all of us the tawfiq to be able to value these precious days of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to increase in our ibadat, in our dua, in our sadaqah and charity in this month of Ramadan. And may Allah ta'ala enable all of us to stay away from stay away from sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase the level, increase the daraja and the rank of our fast. May Allah ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to be able to increase in our good deeds and to stay away from as many sins as we can. May Allah ta'ala make us people of himmat. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. Inshallah, from tomorrow onwards, we're going to start the series of 99 beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the first name that we're going to do tomorrow is Ismi Azam, Ismi Jalala, Allah, inshallah. We'll end with a short dua. Subhana rabbiyal alwahab. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Rabbana zalamna anfusana, ya Allah, ya Rabbi Kareem. You are our kind and merciful Rabb. Zalamna anfusana,
Allah, we have wronged ourselves, we have oppressed ourselves, we have allowed ourselves to become distant from you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we come to you tonight on this first night of Ramadan, and Allah, we make tawbah for all our previous sins. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we make tawbah of all the sins that we remember. Allah, we make tawbah of all the sins that we have forgotten, of all the sins that we did during the day, of all the sins that we did during the night, of all the sins that we did with our eyes, of all the sins that we did with our ears, with our tongue, with our limbs. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you to forgive us for all the sinful emotions and feelings in our heart, for all the sinful thoughts and memories in our mind. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Allah, wipe away all the sins, Ya Allah, from our book of deeds. Allah, remove all the memories of sins from our mind. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, whatever effect of sins that has come into our life, Allah, we ask you to remove that effect. Allah, whatever distance that has come between us and you because of our sins, Allah, we ask you to remove that distance, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you to save us from sins in this month of Ramadan. Allah, we ask you to save us from gatherings of sins. Allah, we ask you to save us from the opportunities of sins. Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to save us, Ya Allah, from our own nafs in this month of Ramadan. Allah, we ask you to, Ya Allah, grant us taqwa in our nafs, to do tazakiyah of our nafs. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask you to, Allah, increase us in our iman in this month. Make us people of yaqeen. Allah, whatever doubts and skepticisms, whatever shak and shubhat we have about the deen, about the Quran, about the sunnah, Allah, we ask you to remove those shak and shubhat, remove those doubts and skepticism from our heart. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us complete sharah sadr about every single ayat of the Quran, about every single ta'limat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what every single aspect of our deen. Allah, make us people of yaqeen. Grant us ilmul yaqeen, aynul yaqeen, haqqul yaqeen. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you to, Ya Allah, grant us your qurb in this month of Ramadan. Allah, increase us in our love for you. Allah, increase us in our ta'luq with you. Increase us in our talab and tadab and desire for you. Allah, make us love you more than anything else in this world. Make us love you more than anyone else in this world. Allah, make us desire you more than any other desire that we have. Make us long for you more than any other longing that we have. Allah, increase us in our yearning for you, in our longing for you, in our craving for you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to pull us close towards you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, enlist our names amongst the muhibbin, the mahbubin, the muqarrabin, the muhsineen, the muttaqin, the salihin, the siddiqin, the shakirin, the sabirin, the qanitin, the zakirin. Ya Rabbi Kareem, adorn us with all the sifat al-mu'minana that you have mentioned in the Quran Kareem. Ya Rabbi Kareem, enable us to follow in the footsteps of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah, just like Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to increase in his ibadah in this month, Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, out of your rahmah, to grant us the tawfiq to be able to increase in our ibadah. Allah, make us people of ibadah in this month. Make us people of Quran. Make us people of dua. Make us people of tawbah. Make us people of istighfar. Make us people of durood and salawat. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, make us people of every single ibadah in this month. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us a passion for ibadah. Grant us a craze for ibadah. Allah, make us enter into that zone of ibadah in this month. Allah, make ibadah easy for us in this month. Whatever obstacles lie in the way, Allah, remove those obstacles, Ya Allah. Allah, remove all those obstructions and interruptions, Ya Allah. All those distractions and deceptions, Ya Allah. All those illusions and delusions, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept us, Ya Allah, for ibadah in this month. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we read about our akabreen, how they would do ibadah in this month. Allah, we read about our akabreen, how they would complete one Quran every day in this month. How they would complete one Quran every night in this month. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we read about people, how they would pray their Isha, and they would continue to pray till Fajr. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we also want to become people of ibadah in this month. Allah, ignite that flame of ibadah ignite that flame of desire for ibadah in our hearts, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you to accept us, Ya Allah. Accept us, Ya Allah. Grant us tawfiq, Ya Allah. Make it easy for us, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, ease comes from you. Allah, tawfiq comes from you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to forgive us, Ya Allah, to overlook our shortcomings, to overlook our flaws and faults, to overlook our weaknesses and deficiencies. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, enable us, Ya Allah, to maximize the barakat of this month. Allah, we have heard
We know that every single moment of this month of Ramadan is a month of wilaya, is a month through which we can attain your wilaya and friendship. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we want to get this noor in our hearts. Allah, we want to befriend you in this month. Allah, we want to befriend you in these nights of Ramadan. We want to befriend you in the mornings of this month of Ramadan. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to save us, Ya Allah, from the temptations of our nafs, Ya Allah. Save us, Ya Allah, from the darkness of this nafs, Ya Allah. Allah, make this nafs mutma'inna. Allah, purify this nafs. Put taqwa in this nafs. Do tazakiya of this nafs. Allah, you are the muzakki, hakiki. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, shower your rahmah and gaze upon this nafs, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you to accept these du'as from all of us tonight. Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept these du'as from all of us tonight. Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept these du'as from all of us tonight. Allah, make this month, Ya Allah, month of change. Allah, make this month a month of change for all of us. Allah, make this month a month of complete and eternal change for all of us, a month of irreversible change for all of us, a month of, Ya Allah, permanent and deep change for all of us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, make this month a month of transformation in Qilab for all of us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, 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 we ask you, Ya Allah, Allah, to wipe away, to remove all the lifetime of sins, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept these du'as from all of us tonight. Allah, whatever pious intentions and du'as that any one of us have in our hearts, Allah, we ask you to accept those du'as. Allah, to accept those du'as for all of us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we make du'a for the entire Muslim Ummah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, shower your special rahmah and mercy and karam upon the entire Muslim Ummah. Every single member of this Ummah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept these du'as from all of us tonight. Rabbana, taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul alim. Wa tub alayna innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala habibihi khayri khalqihi Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.